Welcome to this inspiring message from Grace Life Church. We do hope you enjoy it. For more information about us, please see our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
And welcome them and let Martin do his thing, which he certainly will do. He's good at that. So can you welcome Martin and Emery, please? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is Emma. Daddy. What a privilege. Do you want to say anything?
I just want to say there's many people here that we know. There's many people here that we're meeting for the first time. But what I love about God and the kingdom is that at the end of the day, we're a family. And, you know, you guys are meeting in Staines right now. We're meeting in Kingston, soon to be Cobham. But when we get together, we're family. And we've got to remember that, you know, we're brothers and sisters serving together for one purpose, and that's to see God's kingdom come here on earth, to see heaven on earth. And it really excites me to hear other stories of what people are doing. The fact that you guys are bringing Jesus into this community excites me, you know, because everywhere we go, we can see there is a need for God. There is a need for people to meet with Jesus, and the only relationship that counts is our relationship with him. And so I just want to encourage you, each and every one of you here, you're a priesthood of all believers, and you have been created for a purpose here on earth. And there's no mistake that you're in this place. You are led by amazing, amazing people. Pastor Paul and Carrie, amazing couple. There's anointing of God on them. And there's leaders here that we know and we love that also carry something incredible. But you yourselves, each and every one of you, if you just brought one person home to Jesus, or you just led someone to the Lord, or walked through and discipled someone in their walk with Jesus, you've done an amazing thing for God. So I just want to encourage you.
So that was my message. Yeah. Kids, if you're a child, that's all of us, we should just go upstairs and have fun. If you want to stay down here and get bored by my voice, you may. Thanks, Em. That was actually pretty much my message, so that's good. It is an absolute privilege. Bye, kids. Have fun. It is an absolute privilege to be here today. We have been on an adventure. There's a couple of things you must know about me before I start. I do long pauses. I do bounce between stories, and that's just me. So my whole, if you like, the thing I feel God wants me to do today is see something happen for you. It's not how great I can speak or how great my message is, but I would like you to leave here today more filled with God, more empowered by God than when you arrived. Can I get an amen? Yeah. It is an absolute privilege. Thanks so much, Paul, for inviting me here and us here today. It's when I say we've been on an adventure. When Em and I were released from Great Life Church, quite a long time, about 6.5 years ago, something like that, we were looking to do something for God. We weren't sure what. The challenge of that is ourselves. We get in the way of what God's asking us to do all the time. We have agendas, we have our own thinking, and we have plans. Who here plans things? We do you? Oh. Plans things. Oh my gosh. We are the best at planning something, even planning to do nothing. We seem to plan it. I like an action plan. Even the boys at home, I have, you know, you have this language. So I go, okay, the plan of action is this. So I try and set the agenda of what we're going to do today. The plan of action is we're going to, especially when you're going home late. Boys, the plan of action is this. When we get in, you're going to take your shoes off. You're going to go upstairs. You're going to put your pajamas. You're going to clean your teeth. You're going to wash your face. You're going to get into bed. And you're going to go to sleep. Do you understand? That's the action plan. Is it executed? Probably not. The desire is there, you know. God is good. I do have an idea of what I'm going to preach on today. But I'll be honest, I will probably stop halfway through. Why are you laughing, Daniel? Seriously. Seriously, don't laugh at me. You make me feel nervous. This is family. Emma said it. I feel at home here. I love the worship. You guys are noisy. I love that. I love the way you can just be real. Question you have to ask yourself, and I want you to ask it right now. Am I being real? Am I being real? Yeah. I'm not going to pretend I'm not the best speaker in the world. I can't sing for toffee, even though I like to. Do I love Jesus? Yes. Do I want to see his kingdom come? Yes. Am I going to rely on Paul and Carrie to bring that? No. Am I going to rely on any of you? No. I'm going to step into that space. I'm going to say, God, use me. If we are really being real and saying we're going to follow Jesus, oh, love Jesus, then he will challenge you. And he will ask you to do things that you don't necessarily want to do, and it's not part of your action plan. The great thing about coming here today, that I get to leave, so I can probably offend some of you and get away with it. I know. But I'm going to challenge you today, whether you like it or not. Because I can. I hope I can. Jesus wants more. You see, the thing is, what we do as Jesus followers, we worship God and we say, God, we want more, we want more. Lord, Holy Spirit, come, move, da, 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 da. And you pray and you worship. And in that still small voice, God is going, can you just tell that person I love them? Can you just, despite you, can you just give that person a hug? Can you just say to that person that there's a plan for their life, that I love them? That's half our job right there, to be honest. In fact, that's probably all our jobs. There's nothing greater than pointing someone to Jesus. Don't point somebody to a church. Don't point somebody to yourself. Point them to Jesus. Because quite frankly, we will fail them. You will fail that person. I know this because I fail people all the time. Because I'm a human being. Doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are. Doesn't matter about your past. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday, because yesterday has gone. Today is a day that God is challenging you. Today is a day that you are a saint, that you are a child of God. Today is a day you are anointed and empowered, and you do have the authority. Because if you say, Jesus, you are my king, you are my Lord, you are my brother, you are my savior, you are my everything, and we worship with these words, do we believe them? Do we accept them? And do we action that? Do we take that into our lives on our everyday? Sometimes it's tough, eh? I fail at doing that. I'm not standing here as the best person. Oh, I've got this down. I know how this works. No. As I'm speaking, I'm sort of revealing God's heart. And I'm speaking to myself. There's always more. I can always be better. It's important. I'm going to, there's a few things in my notes. Paul, when you came to see me one evening at Kingsgate, did I preach with notes or no notes?
Probably no notes.
Probably no notes.
I think I threw them
away. You are so blessed because Paul is an incredible teacher and preacher. He reveals God's heart to you every single week. He does. What are you doing with that? Don't come here next week except and have the same thing if you're not pouring it out to someone, giving it out to somebody. Even if it's your neighbor or your mother or your father or your brother or your sister or your uncle, your aunt, whoever. It could be the stranger in the street. Just love somebody. You are not a dam. Or are you? Are you holding it all in? Ah, more, Lord. More. I just want more. And then you feel a little bit powerless, a little bit dull. You feel like you're wading through custard. And you just think, oh, my life is so boring. Nothing's going on. Nothing's happening. God, where are you? The picture I get is he's looking at me going, you haven't done what I've asked you to do. It's simple. He is gonna be speaking to you today. He's gonna be asking you to do something. Because that's what we're his people, we're his hands, we're his feet, we're his mouthpiece. Okay? We don't be that person. Please don't be that person. And I get it. I totally get this, where someone says, oh, Todd White is preaching. Gotta go and hear him because I wanna receive what he has. I get it. I absolutely get it. I think Todd White is an incredible person. Who knows who Todd White is? Right, this guy he's just a preacher. He loves Jesus, and he has a huge following. He preaches for 2 hours at a time. But this guy sees incredible healings, incredible stuff. Is Todd White special? Is Todd White better than you? No. Because all he's done is say, yes, Jesus. There was a moment, can I quickly ask, do we all love and believe in Jesus? Anyone here who's still challenged by that, not sure? Give me a wave, proper wave if you do believe in Jesus. Right, okay. There was a moment where you say, yeah, I kind of believe in God, I believe in you, Jesus. Yeah, great, you receive him. There's a transaction that happens, okay? There's a moment your world is rocked, it's changed. And then you go through this life, if you're a seasoned Christian, you go through this life of that joy and power sort of slowing down. And it's like, oh yeah, well, I was really excited when I was younger and I'll tell anyone about Jesus. But now I'm like, oh, a little bit sort of, yeah, kind of, that's for young Christians. I'm a mature Christian and you know, we go to church and, you know. Come on. Why are you all looking at me? Seriously. I think about, there's a couple of words I really want to get to you today, try and deliver to you today. And those two words, the first word is gratitude. And I think the point of reason is to get to the place of having the power of God flow through you all the time, that you're not a dam holding back all of God's what poured into you, but rather part of a river of life. Hello? Yeah? Letting the love of God, the river of life, flow through you to impact you and fill people around you is gratitude. I love that buzz. It's over there now. No, it's fine. It's keeping me on my toes. Gratitude. Are you thankful? Truly thankful. Now, a bit of a story from Em and I's point of view. We are poor. We don't have a lot of money. I am an entrepreneur. I start businesses and sometimes they fail. Most of the time they fail. I think I've started something in the region of over 12 businesses. Only two of them made any money. Isn't God great? Hey? We have this really strange thing. God's with me. I'm going to start this business and it's going to make me millions. I'm going to be blessed. It's going to be amazing. And then you say, Lord, it's okay because I'm going to tithe. Yeah? All that money. And I'm going to give a bit more as well. And he's like going, okay. God doesn't need your money. He needs your heart. Little secret about tithing. He wants all of you. If the money in your pocket's got you and your idol is the idol in your life, then he's going to challenge you constantly until you let it go. Tithing's the, a friend of mine at Kingsgate, he's in my eldership, and he goes, tithing's like the training wheels for giving. It's to start you understanding what money means to you, for you so you to understand who you are. It's not just about money, it's anything. Church can be an idol. Work can be an idol. Your education can be an idol. Oh my gosh, I've gone on to idols. That's not what I'm saying today. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Am I challenging you?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Ah, job done. We'll pray and go home. Thankfulness. Thankfulness is an absolute incredible tool that you have. So I want everyone to close your eyes for a moment, okay? And I want you to think about how you thank God, how you are absolutely grateful and thankful for who he is. For he is, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Open your eyes again now. Your thankfulness is going to go deeper. It's going to go further. Because your thankfulness is the power of God through you. If there's something you can't be thankful for, there's some little grudge, or there's, you know, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. There's no food in my cupboard. Thank you, Jesus, because you are my provider. The rent needs to be paid. Thank you, Jesus. But let me tell you now, I've just given you some ideas right there. What we tend to do, we thank Jesus. They go, Lord, thank you. Then we tack on the end of that a demand. Thank you, Jesus. I need rent. I need money. Thank you, Jesus. I need some food. Let's not do that. God is always going to, he's always going to look after you. Make your request known to God. Yes, do that in a place of prayer. Yeah, do that in a place of, on your knees. Lord, I'm praying about this. This is what I want. But when you come to a place of thankfulness, you're coming to him with everything. It's called surrender. God, I want more of you. I'm just going to thank you for what you've given me. And may I have the power to pour it out. May I have the inclination to speak to that person? Oh, there was a time Em and I were friends, and it's the most strange thing. Okay, he can't. I laughed at him a few months ago because when he got into his car, say this is the car seat. I'm going to go turn my back on you now. He's getting in, opens the door of the car, and he sort of climbs in like this, and sort of spins. Spins over like this. So weird. And I sort of laughed. Well, that's just hilarious. That's a strange way to get into a car. Most people sort of just, you know, open the door and sit down like that. I don't know if that's how you all get into the car, but that's how I tend to. Anyway, so a few months later, we go and visit them. And there's Michael. Mike, great guy. Doesn't know Jesus, but he will one day. And he goes, oh, I've worked out why I can't get into cars. I said, why is that? He said, I can't know you've been to there. Are you meant to there? So yeah, look. Can't go any further. I thought that was the most strange thing ever. And there, the still small voice. Pray for him. Oh, I wish I could tell you a story where he was healed. I do. Did I pray for him? No. That's normal. That's life. And I'm being real with you. Should I have prayed for him? Yes. Do I believe he can be healed? Yes. Absolutely. 100%. So I'm like waiting for the next time I see him. I'm thanking God now for his healing. Thank you, Jesus, because you're going to heal that man. His mind's going to be blown. He won't know what's happened. It's going to be hilarious when he gets into a car. I'm trying to be real with you. I can tell you a story where people have been healed. Where we've had meetings and people have just fallen over and people's lives have been transformed and changed. Where drug addicts have just turned their lives around and you know, cancers have disappeared. That's all happened in our church, but that's not where we are sometimes, is it? What we do, we try and chase that. We go, oh, there's a meeting. Got to go there. See someone healed. It's amazing. There's nothing wrong with that, but let's be the people that do the healing. Let's be the people that lay hands on the sick. Let's be the people who say, thank you, Jesus. It's you. It's not me. You do not have the power to heal people. You have the power to lay hands on them, and God heals them. Yeah? Can God heal somebody? Can God bind the heart of a broken person up again? Can cancer be just dropped off the body? Yes. Have we seen it? Have we had records of it? Yes, we have. Can you be that channel? Yes. If we align ourselves with God with a thankful heart, and I've got scriptures somewhere, I'll get to that in a minute. If we align ourselves to God with a thankful heart, there's unending limit to God's power through you. Unending. God is the God of abundance. God is the God of the overflow. He's not just enough. He's more than enough. And so I out of experience, I'm going, Lord, you know, I've got rent to pay. Give me double so I've got more than enough. God is in the business of developing you. He wants the best out of you. And he knows where we fail. I've just told you where I failed. I'm meant to be a minister. I'm meant to be the man of God in that person's house. He's showing me where he's not functioning properly. And I go, great, fancy a beer. More, Lord. Oh, I'm just going to pray right now. I just feel the God. You know, I'll tell you what, the presence of God is amazing in this place. Oh, feel God. If you can't feel God, don't worry, you will in a minute. Hallelujah. More, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, fill this place. Have your way, God. Move mightily. Soften hearts, open ears, Lord God, right now in Jesus' name. I feel God is stoking some of the hearts, some of the fire in your heart right now. More, Lord. May we not leave here the same that we came. More, Lord. Let your overflow happen right now in Jesus' name. You want to receive more, just put your hands up to God right now. More, Lord. More, Jesus, come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. May your power move on people right now, God. Reveal your heart to them right now in Jesus' name. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, God. Thank you, Jesus. More. More. Some of you let go. There's things running through your head. You need to let go of things right now in Jesus' name. Let it go. More. You are planted on the shores of the river of life. And God is filling you and overflowing you right now. You are empowered by the grace and love of God. There is nothing that you can do to earn that by just by surrendering. Hallelujah. More. Okay, so there's a book. There's a book I want to share with you. And it's not the Bible. Uh-oh, everyone's going to scare me. It's not a novel. It's not actually a book. But it's your book. You are a book. You are a story. And you have chapters and you have pages. And you have verses and you have pain and you have joy. It's your book. You know, God is very interested in your book. And he wants to influence your book. Your book is one of adventure and one of you know, as I said, joys and pains, but there's more. You know, you turn a page of a book, someone's novel or autobiography, you know, reading it, it's a great chapter. Then you get a bit of a boring chapter, not sure where the writer's gone with that. And then you open next, this is a great chapter. But your book is important. Your book is amazing. Your story is amazing. Let the last chapter in your book be one of absolute immense power of God. And we don't know when our last chapter of our book is, do we? Just grab it and go, right, Lord, what is this adventure? What's my story going to say? And it's not for other people to read. It's for God to just be revealed by it. Your story matters. Those mundane pages, you think, oh, man, if anyone else read this book, it'd be like, oh. Washing, work, telling the kids off. But in those small things, those small pages, those small words, God is revealed. God in your heart. Jesus, the power of Jesus running through your very veins. Your story matters. It really does. And it's powerful. And may your books entwine, and like you mention people's names in your book, because they're where they're healed or set free, and you just go, oh, this person called David did this, revealed something to me. That's you in someone else's book. But let your book be powerful. Let it mean something. Don't do the mundane because that's all we've got. Don't toe the line because that's what we do. Don't turn up to church every single week doing the same old, and expect, you know, oh, this is what I do. This is fine. Come to church, go, wow, God, I've just got a story I want to tell you. I met somebody in Sainsbury's. I have no idea who they are. I just said, Jesus loves you. They broke down in tears. Next minute, they're healed. I have no idea. I just pointed to Jesus. This church is brilliant. But you know what? The church around the corner is brilliant. Because they're full of Jesus followers. I love Jesus. It's all about him. Oh, come on, Jesus. Oh, so, so good. Oh. There's something freeing when you allow God in and you have this thankful heart that you can't really describe. It's like, thank you, Jesus. There is the freedom of God that flows through you. I want you to just take a moment and think about all the things that you do in the week. take a moment where you think about all those small things, all the big things, and just run that through your thinking, and you think, okay, through the week, where, take last week, where was God? Where was Jesus? Where's his influence? Where am I being challenged? I'm not saying you should go around preaching Jesus to everyone. I'll come to that in a second. But I'm just asking you for you, where is he? If this is it, if this is Jesus in your week, and you come here thinking, oh, I just want more of God, what are you doing Monday through to Saturday? And by the way, it's not a competition. It's not like I'm such a great Christian because I pray so much. The only person who can say you're a great person is God. And he'll tell you when you go home. Or not. Who are you? Ah! That'd be terrible. I don't know you, son, sorry. But I prayed for people. I cast out demons in your name. But I don't know you. Thankful. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want anything from you. I'm just thanking you because you've already done it. Align your heart, and that's the power of God. I have no idea why I keep looking at my notes because I'm not actually following them. I'm going to share a story. We all know this story, and I'm probably going to paraphrase, but it is in Samuel, and it's the story of David and Goliath. And this is my second word. Are you ready? A bit of a lunge, just warm up the old legs. So, King Saul falls out of favor with God. So, Samuel goes off to find the new king. We all know who that is. And I'm going to paraphrase, David gets chosen, but you all know David. He's the youngest of the flock. Jesse's boys, he's the little one, he's the shepherd boy. It's like, you know, all the other brothers, they're like big and strong. They're the powerful ones. And the story moves forward pretty swiftly. David finds favor with Saul. David's in the courts, he's there. And then Goliath comes along. Well, actually, Goliath comes on before, but we know the story. We have to find someone to battle Goliath. David goes to his brothers. And his brothers goes, who are you? It's like, he's looking after sheep. You know, you're nobody, really. What are you doing? And the word is this. Okay, I won't tell you the word just yet. Let's see if you get it. Eventually, David says, I will do it. My brother's not interested. I'm going to do it. She goes back, says to King Saul, goes, I'll deal with this guy. Don't you worry. Yeah, I've got it in the bag. And Saul puts all his stuff, all his armor on David. We know the story. You've mentioned it a million times. But it's this. The word comparison. You see, David didn't compare himself to his brothers. Everyone else did. King Saul compared what David had to what Goliath had. David didn't. David had an incredible faith because the words he used were never, I'm not sure if I can do this. It was always, I'll do it. It was, he said to King Saul, he goes, I've killed a bear. Seriously. I've killed a bear. He took himself as himself. He believed by faith that he was going to do the job of getting rid of this guy called Goliath. And we know the answer. He did. So my words to you are, if you are comparing yourself to someone else, stop it. just stop it right now. Doesn't matter if it's your boss, your sister, your buddy, or whoever, anyone. Do not compare yourself. If you are surrendered to Jesus, then be the best you are. Stop looking at someone else going, yeah, but look, they're so strong. Or they're so cute. I'm ugly. They got better dress sense than me. I keep messing up. We all know David is a bit of a mess up anyway, to be fair. David was real. He was being a real person. You are real people. Be real. Take yourself, look yourself in the mirror and go, okay, this is who I am. All my failings, all the terrible things I've done, that was yesterday. Today, this. Come on, Jesus, you and me. I hope this is inspiring you, because your job is to go out and inspire others. That's your job. As a Christian, as a Jesus follower, it's not just to follow Jesus and be that dam to fill up. Because the very thing what happened is you'll end up being frustrated, angry, disillusioned, disconnected. We've all had those feelings. So what happens is you feel those things, you think, oh, maybe it's the church. Maybe I should go to another church. Maybe I need to just go and see Todd White and be prayed for because, you know, he's amazing. Or whoever you think is amazing. You're amazing. You're incredible. I know this because Paul used to tell me all the time until I realized Jesus said it. I think that's my phone ringing. It's okay, it's Jesus. Oh, Lord, you're so good. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Come on, Jesus. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. That's Philippians. Guard your hearts. What is he saying? Comparison. This is simple words, because I'm a simple person. That's the truth of it. My messages sort of flow from one to the other. They're not defined by pieces of paper. They're really only because I just let the Holy Spirit take over. I've learned very quickly. My church, Kingsgate, it's a great church, been going for a long time. There is full of theologians. I'm on eldership. There is 12 eldership couples, 13, I can't remember. Should know, really. Eldership couples, that language is being, we are the pastors, if you like, of the church. We have some full-time people and we have some part-time or marketplace. I'm marketplace, I work for myself. But there's some, like, they are in the Word. They're into it. They're dissecting it. And I love that. That's great. So what I did for the first few years being on eldership, I thought, that's how I had to be. Oh my gosh, the struggle I had. Oh my, I was like, seriously, Lord, this is killing me. Not another book to read, not another scripture to read. I just don't understand anymore. Where are you, Jesus? He goes, I haven't told you to do that. I'm like, what do you mean? Because I haven't told you to do that. What have I told you to do? I said, I don't know anymore. The very best advice I can give you is have a conversation with Jesus. Don't pretend you've got it all together, but just know he's king. And when he says do something, for goodness sake, do it. Slap myself on the back. Bang, bang. Come on, Jesus. I will try my best. And when you fail, because you will fail, because God always... slights to stretch you. You're never going to make it, by the way. you only make it when you get to heaven. If you think you've made it, then God's going to come in. As you if you surrender to God truly and you follow Jesus truly, if you think you've made it, he will come and challenge you, and he will take away the idol that you think that has helped you make it. And don't be surprised by it. Oh, but Jesus, you blessed me, and I was blessing people. Sorry, I don't know who you are. This is serious words. You need to step up. We all do. I'm telling myself. This community here, you guys, you're amazing. What a privilege. Thank you for listening. But don't just listen to me. Get into God. Listen to what he's asking you to do. And it will challenge you. Okay, let me see if I can try and catch up with where I am. Probably not. Turn over a few pages. I think, no, that's all right. Okay. Are we challenged? You feel good? Okay. Right. I'm a massive believer in actually praying for people and prophesying. And one of my things today was challenge you, but also try and encourage you and pray for you and see God move. Okay? But it's not about me, it's not about Paul, or any other ministers that may be here in the room. It's about you. Okay? So this is a bit of a practical lesson. Whoop, whoop. Like a bit of, you know, I'm not going to do any aerobics today. Any, you know, lunges. But I'm going to challenge you to pray and prophesy for the people around you. I'm going to ask you to step up, and I'm going to ask you to listen to what God has to say. Oh, Jesus, it's getting awkward. I help run the evening service at Kingsgate, and there's a full-time guy called Paul Harper. He's this big Irish guy, and he often says, oh, it's getting awkward, so Marty's getting happy. Truth is, yeah. If it feels a little bit awkward, it's probably because it's good. It's a good thing, to be honest. It means that you're actually coming out of your comfort zone. Because if you're comfortable, you're not comfortable in him. I sit here this morning thinking, Lord, I have no idea what you really want me to share. Yes, I can prepare notes, tap away on a computer and think I'm pretty smart or clever. The truth is, it's his words, not me. It's his actions, not mine. Come, Jesus. It's more about you than anything else. And this is training. Church is a place of training. It's a place of community and love for each other. Love for each other is powerful. They will only know you. When they say they're talking about the people who don't know Jesus. They'll only know that you are Christians because of the love that you have for one another. It's not just in this room. It's the C of E church around the corner. It's the Baptist church up the road. It's the URC church. It's all these different churches. Crikey, there's so many I can't count. And maybe they don't necessarily say the same thing you do, but there's one thing. More often than not, they love Jesus. May Jesus be the center of every conversation you have. May Jesus be the center of those dinner parties. May Jesus be the center of your desk at work. When you're going to the pub to meet a friend, may Jesus be there, even if by stealth mode. He matters, and he's powerful, and he's beyond you. He flows through you. He's awesome.